Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
In his famous Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ encouraged his believers, his followers, to not fret with worry and fear about tomorrow, about whether you're going to be able to have food to eat and clothing to wear. Now, we know that in this hour of economic turmoil and political unrest, and with dire threats of attacks on all sides, it behooves us to get involved, to vote, to voice to our elected representatives that we want them to galvanize the civilized nations of the world to fight against and defeat evil such as ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and the number one state sponsor of organized terror, the nation of Iran. But in the midst of all of this fear that can cause unbelievers to lose all hope and find themselves becoming preppers who are digging bomb shelters and putting away years worth of food because they're afraid that there's not going to be food tomorrow. In the midst of all of that, I choose to trust in God. Coming up in just a few moments, we have a message for you that I delivered in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church, a word from the Lord titled Abundance of Rain. But first, we have some music that goes along with this topic from their album Breathe In. This is Phillips, Craig, and Dean singing I Choose to Believe.
It didn't take long for my whole world to change. One phone call, now life will never be the same. It's like I'm watching my whole world go dark. Nothing makes much sense, but still with all my heart, I choose to believe.
Face is hard to see.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him.
Thank you, Sister Kayla. Thank you for being here with us, and thank you for ministering in song. That was a good selection. Amen. It dovetails right into the message that I bring to you tonight from the Word of the Lord. And so, in preparation, this, as you know, this is a Pentecostal church. That means we know God's not nervous. We can all pray at the same time, and it doesn't bother God. We can say amen when the preacher's preaching. It doesn't make God get nervous one bit. So we're going to do a little call and response right now. Are you ready? Amen. If you don't know what the response is, just listen to the person beside you and catch on to it. You ready? God is good. And all the time. Oh, let's give Him praise. God. If you have your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 18, and reading there the 41st verse. 1 Kings chapter 18 and the 41st verse. The word of the Lord says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up. Eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." And that's my title tonight, simply Abundance of Rain. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help be upon us in this house tonight. Praise God. God bless you as you're seated. One more time, let's give a great thanks to God for His goodness to us. Amen, amen. Amen. Many people have one of the most often quoted scriptures backwards in their mind, and they paraphrase a Bible scripture when it says that the rain comes on the just and the unjust, and they'll say it rains on both the good and the bad, and they mean that bad things happen to everybody. Bad things happen to good people, and bad things happen to bad people. I want to tell you that that is not what that scripture means. If you've never been a farmer, then you don't really understand. But I'm telling you, rain is a good thing. And when the Bible says that he pours His rain down on the just and the unjust, it's not saying bad things happen to everybody. It's saying God's goodness happens to everybody. I'm telling you tonight, God is good. And all the time. Oh, let's praise Him again. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you that if God somehow decided to change His approach and make the world a terrible place for the ungodly and a wonderful place for the godly, then you would see weathermen scratching their heads in confusion, because the weather would have to obey the dictate of God, and it would instantly become clear that this farmer who has the Holy Ghost has rain on his crops, and all these farmers who don't, there's never any rain on their crops. But God is not that way. His policy is not that way. Now, God at times grows so frustrated with the wickedness of man that at times he brings an exception to the rule and brings a time of targeted judgment. And we know from the scriptures that there have been various times of targeted judgment by the Lord, and even the global flood in which he targeted the whole world with a time of judgment. But the Bible says that it sorrowed God that it had to be that way. I want to tell you that if you have allowed the devil to paint a picture in your mind of God being some angry, mean, wicked tyrant of a God who's got lightning bolts in one hand and a big club in the other, and he is just looking for an excuse to bring down judgment on you, then you have bought into a lie. God is not about getting pleasure out of bringing judgment on people. He is a good God. He is a benevolent God. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ described it this way regarding the enemy of your soul, Satan. He said, the enemy comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he said, I am come that they may have life, and that more abundantly. I'm glad to tell you tonight, God is not out to punish you. He is a good God. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants to touch you. He wants to save you. Amen. And the Bible tells us that there came a point when Israel had a wicked king and a wicked queen. Now, first of all, it was never the will of God for the people to have any other king other than God himself. But the Bible tells us that the people of Israel, they looked at the worldly nations around about them, and they said, we want to have a king like the other nations do. Why on earth, when you have the Lord God Almighty as your king, would you want a flawed human king like every other nation? I'm telling you, folks, it is a trick of the enemy to get our young people's eyes focused on the world and say, why can't our church let down on this standard and give up on that conviction? Why can't we be like the world around us? Hey, they don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have this abiding presence of God. They don't have the value system. Thank God for the morals that we have from the Word of God that have been implanted in our heart by the Spirit of God. I don't want to be like the world. I want to be special the way God wants His church to be. But the Bible tells us that they were ruled by a wicked king named Ahab. And his wicked wife was the queen. And her name was Jezebel. Now I want to tell you that Jezebel was a wicked woman in the worst kind of way. She was murderous. She was the worst kind of schemer. She was the worst kind of conniver. As a matter of fact, when her doom was near and the man of God was coming to pronounce judgment on her, her way of conniving was to think, well, I'll paint myself up, I'll paint my face, I'll fix my hair, and I'll seduce him. Do you know that every time in the Bible, without exception, every time in the Bible that it describes a woman painting her face, it is with a negative connotation. Right. It is referring to a prostitution type act or a seduction type act. Every time the Bible mentions a woman painting her face, it is in a negative connotation. Hey, folks, Did you know God made you beautiful? You don't have to put all that mess on. Amen. But her evil went far beyond painting herself up to try to seduce, far beyond that. Her evil went even to the point of conniving for the murder of innocent people. And there came an occasion when they, in their wickedness, and Jezebel kind of was, if you'll pardon the phrase, Jezebel kind of wearing the pants in the relationship. And this wicked king and this wicked queen were leading God's people away from God. They were leading God's people into worshiping a false god by the name of Asherah and a system of false worship that is called Baal worship. And in this wickedness, the people just followed like sheep. I want to tell you that leadership matters. What kind of propaganda goes out to the masses on the lamestream media, the mainstream media? That propaganda matters because people tend to be followers. They tend to be sheep. Amen. There's a word, I can't remember who coined it, but they call it this, sheeple. It's a blend of sheep and people. This is what the masses tend to be like. You would think the people would say, we've got too much history with the one true God. Our people have this land because of our history with the one true God. Who is this king and queen trying to lead us to worship Asherah? Who is this king and queen trying to lead us to worship Baal? But no, they just flock over and start into this false worship. This is what we're seeing in America today. You would think someone, populous, numbers of the masses would rise up and say, we've been blessed because of our Judeo-Christian heritage. Who is this leadership that would lead us away from this? But no, the people, the sheeple, they just follow. Leadership matters. And I want to tell you under the unction of the Holy Ghost that when there is wicked leadership, what is called for is not a wringing of the hands in despair. When there is wicked leadership, what is called for is godly leadership. It's time to stand up. Hallelujah. It's time to stand up and preach the one true God of America's past, America's history. It's time to stand up and be a voice that someone can follow toward God instead of away from God. Amen. And during this time of backsliding away, as Israel began to displease God more and more by whoring after other gods, forsaking the holy convictions of the one true God and adopting the whorish attitudes and values of the false gods. In this terrible time, Jezebel rose up and she began to misuse her authority as the queen and to misuse her husband's authority as the king. And she began to orchestrate the assassination of the prophets of the one true God. And there was a servant in their house. He literally was a manservant in the king's palace, Obadiah. And Obadiah saw what was happening. And so he went in secrecy. And he got 100 of the prophets of the one true God. And he took and he hid them in two caves, 50 prophets in each cave. And he would slip away whenever he could and take food and water to those prophets. And the Lord God sent a very special man of God. Well, wait a minute. Can we really say that he was very special? When the New Testament tells us that he was nothing special. He was a man of like passion, just like you and I. If you just go at it from the normal human approach, you'd say, boy, If only we had someone special like an Elijah.
Come on.
If only America had someone special like a Ronald Reagan. If only someone special would rise up. I want to tell you, the New Testament says Elijah didn't get accomplished what he got accomplished because he was special. The Bible says he was a man just like you or I. We don't need to be sitting around going, oh, if only God would send somebody special. Hey, God sent you. You know what? You plus God makes a majority. I don't care how many of the bad guys there are. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and Elijah went and prophesied to the wicked king Ahab. He said, there is not going to be any dew or any rain on this land except at my word. And because he was speaking what God gave him to say, his words came true. Folks, I've preached this before, and I will preach it tonight, and I will preach it again. If somebody comes to you and says, tell me the interpretation of my dream. Here's my life situation. Give me a word from God. Here's this or here's that. What does God say? If you pray and you don't get an answer from God, don't you make up something and tell them that it was from God. We need to speak what thus saith the Lord. If you want God to back up your words, then make your words His words. God had told him that there would be no rain. God told him to say that to the king. And so God backed up his words when they were spoken. God shut up the heavens that there would be no rain. This went on for 3 years. Immediately after the declaration, the Lord told this prophet to go out and that he would find a brook and he would be watered and fed by that brook. Later that brook dried up and God spoke to him to go and find a widow. And he was provided for by that widow. And all of this time, there is no rain happening. Now I want you to notice that those prophets who were hidden away, those prophets are having to suffer because there's no rain. All the wicked sheeple, all the sheeple who maybe they were wicked, maybe they weren't, but they were following bad leadership. They were all suffering because there was no rain. Everyone was suffering. The widow was suffering. The creeks were drying up. Everyone was suffering because there was no rain. When God brought that judgment, it had an impact on everyone. Amen. The Bible says it this way. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Somebody said, why don't you Bible thumpers just mind your own business? If they want to put this sin into law, just let them put it in law. If they want to redefine marriage, just let them redefine marriage. No, sir, we can't just sit back and let that happen because sin is a reproach to any people. Hey, folks, God invented marriage. God defined marriage. And only God would have the authority to redefine marriage. And guess what? He's not redefining it. Amen. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If we take a recluse attitude and we refuse to speak up with leadership in this hour, and we just back into a corner and say, well, if they want to be sheeple and if they want to follow into wickedness and they want to lead America into ensconcing sin into our laws, then just let them do it. Then you will suffer when the land suffers because of God's hand of protection being lifted. There came a time after 3 years when God got ready to bring about a powerful victory. God, it's the order of events is interesting. God said to Elijah, go show yourself to Ahab. I'm going to send rain. This is the first thing. After 3 years, Go show yourself to Ahab. I'm going to send rain. It has gotten so bad that it's not only affecting the poor people now, it's now affecting the rich people. And even in the king's palace, where there is wealth and opulence, the drought is beginning to have an effect. And it so happened that King Ahab said to his servant Obadiah, he said, let's go to everywhere where there used to be a spring, everywhere where there used to be a brook, and let's see, let's scour the land and see if maybe we can bring home just enough grass that we found growing somewhere in a crag under a rock that we can feed something to our animals so that we don't have to start slaughtering our animals because of this drought. And so they got out a map, and the king said, I'll take my guys and go this way. You take these guys and you cover this territory. And so Obadiah is out with some guys, and they are going to everywhere that there used to be a brook, everywhere there used to be a creek, everywhere there used to be a spring. They're taking every little blade of grass, trying to keep from slaughtering the animals. Let me just mention to you, folks, there's something wrong with someone when they care more about the death of an animal than they do the death of a human. I saw a sign the other day, and it had a picture, a drawing of a panda bear. And the panda bear said, pretend the babies are panda bears and save them. It is sad. We have people that on one day they will stand and chant, protect freedom of choice to murder babies by abortion. And then on the next day they'll go to a different protest and chant, we've got to stop these porpoises from being slaughtered. There's something wrong when somebody's value system is protect the animals. Who cares what happens to the people, but protect the animals. So Obadiah, he's got his guys out here and he's looking for grass. And all of a sudden he looks up and he sees Elijah. And he said, oh my Lord, is that you, sir? And he said, it is. I've come to reveal myself to Ahab. Go tell Ahab that I am here. And Obadiah said, oh my Lord, what have I done that you've decided you want to hand me over to Ahab to murder me? There is not a city state around here. There's not a nation state around here. There's not a warring tribe around here. There's not any kind of people group around here that Ahab hasn't sent messengers saying, is Elijah in your territory? And every time one of them said no, he made them swear that they couldn't find you. And he said, I don't know where the Lord will take you if I walk away, but I'll go tell Ahab and the Spirit of the Lord will carry you somewhere, and Ahab will come back. He won't be able to find you, and he'll put me to death. He said, don't you know who I am? I have served the one true God, the Yahweh God, the I Am God. I've served that God from my youth up. I'm the one who, when Jezebel was slaying the prophets of the one true God, I'm the one that hid 100 of them in two caves, 50 in each cave. I'm the one who took bread and water to them. Don't make Ahab kill me. And the man of God said to him, as surely as the Lord God lives, I will reveal myself to him. I'm not going anywhere. Go tell him I'm here.
Well, we're all out of time, but we encourage you to join us again next week when we'll play the conclusion to this series, Abundance of Rain. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.